The Fleischman Feast Hour, presenting a variety entertainment directed by Rudy Valley.
This is Rudy Valley again. If our studio audience were supplied with printed programs tonight, the first page might read something like this. Rudy Valley presents a music hall variety review starring Eugenie Leontovich, William Eugene Howard, and Lido Roberti, with Ray Bolger, Barbara Blair, Moffett Johnson, Lois Bennett, Earl Spicer, and the Connecticut Yankees.
Night go on forever. Why should the morning find you gone? Why can't I keep you here forever and not just till dawn? Why should the sun replace the moonlight? Why must the starlight fade from view? Why can't this night go on forever, together we two? The sun replace the moonlight? Why must the starlight fade from view? Why can't this night go on forever together?
Roberti, blonde, beautiful, and just, over from Poland, Lida reached Broadway about 2 years ago. A vital personality and a highly original manner of putting over songs won for her almost immediate stardom. Perhaps you have seen Lida recently in Eddie Cantor's latest movie, The Kid from Spain. Just now, she is Jack Pearl's leading lady in the new Gershwin musical, Pardon My English. She sings for us tonight her hit number from that production. The title, I've Got a Cousin in Milwaukee, Miss Roberti. Ladies and gentlemen, before Miss Roberti sings, I think I had better explain that she still has just a trace of a Polish accent. Is that right, Lida?
I hope to find you, honey.
Yeah, just a trace. What part of Poland do you come from, Lida?
Krakow.
What?
Krakow.
I'm sorry, I don't get it.
Okay, make it Pittsburgh.
Thanks. Now, one other point. This cousin of yours in Milwaukee, what's her name?
Krakow.
I beg your stuff.
Krakow.
Thank you once more. Will you play that gentleman, please?
Once I visited my cousin in Milwaukee, USA. She got boyfriend by the dozen when she sang in Lodan Way. She was a positive sensation. The songs that she sang would never miss. My cousin was my inspiration. That's how I got like this. I got a cousin in Milwaukee. She's got a voice so squawky. And though she's dull and kind of gawky, oh, how she gets her men. has singing is an operatic. He's got lots of static, but makes your heart get acrobatic. Oh, 9 times out of 10, when she sings hot, you can be solemn. She sends the shivers up and down your spinal column. When she sings blues, the man shot one song. Dodge baby is hot now. So if you like the way I sing songs, if you think that I'm a wow, you can thank the quirky cousin from Milwaukee. Because she bought me home. I got a cousin in the walking. She's got a voice that's walking. And though she's all and kind of gawking, oh, how she gets her man. And singing is an operatic. She's got lots of static, but make your heart get acrobatic. Oh, 9 times out of 10, when she sings hot, you can be solemn. Ech, then a chase a maidle. When she sings blues, the maid shot bottom. Doody, doody, ra, nya, nya. So if you like the way I sing songs, if you think that I'm a wow, you can thank the working guys and wrong and walk in. Because she thought me, thought me, thought me hard.
Lover, deep in the throes of deception, no song could more express the feelings of that person than this one. Pretending you care. Something in your eyes makes me realize our romance is almost through. Love that I hold dear, I find insincere, though you make believe it's true. Pretending that you care, but someone else tonight will share a kiss from lips divine that you were pretending were mine. Pretending you'll be true, I thought I could depend on you whatever might befall. But you were pretending, that's all. Though your arms still hold me as close as they did before, though you've never told me, I know what's in store, for I know that your pretending love lives on. When in your heart the thrill is gone, oh, why be so unfair and keep on pretending you care?
Thank you.
present Eugenie Leontovich, star of Grand Hotel and Moffat Johnson, character lead in numerous Theatre Guild productions, in a scene from the current Broadway season's outstanding comedy hit, 20th Century. 20th Century, now at the Broadhurst Theatre, was written by Ben Hecht and Charles MacArthur, and is based on a script by Bruce Milholland. With a sharp wit, characteristic of the authors, it tells the story of a complicated and hilarious journey from Chicago to New York on the 20th Century Limited. Principal cause of both complications and mirth is Oscar Jaffe, played by Mr. Johnston. Jaffe is a great theatrical producer, a self-centered charlatan with a touch of erratic genius. Three of his shows in a row have failed, and he is flat broke. Returning from huge Hollywood success on the same train is Lily Garland, played by Leontovich. Lily is a passionately temperamental actress who rose to fame under Jaffe's management, quarreled with him and left him for movie gold. Only her signature on a new contract can save Jaffe from immediate financial ruin. By bribing a porter, he gains admission to her compartment on the train. Our curtain rises on his entrance.
Mr. Oscar Jaffe, eh? Mm-hmm. What do you want, Scorpion?
If it makes you any happier to call me names, go ahead.
Oscar, you're complete. The most horrible excuse for a human being that ever walked on two legs.
I'm an Oriental. Love blinded me. That was always the trouble between us as producer and artist.
Now that's what it was it? How about your name in electric lights? Bigger than everybody. Your delusions that you were a Shakespeare and Napoleon and Great Lama of Tibet all rolled into one.
You're absolutely right.
Yes, when you were running around the town telling people that you had to put chalk marks on the stage so that I would know where to stand.
Oh.
That you had to teach me to talk like a parrot.
God, it was despicable. I could cut my throat. But I've paid for it 1,000 times. When I saw that movie of yours, I blamed myself.
You've seen it, eh?
Yes.
Well, you'll be glad to know it's a great success. I am marvelous in it. Superb.
Don't listen to that sort of flattery. There were moments in that movie when you were marvelous. They couldn't help the real Lily coming through several times. But that cheap story, that clumsy, unimaginative direction.
All right, I'll tell you that you're right there. And you know why? The director was an idiot. I couldn't get anything through. You know that I had to fight him all the time?
It was sacrilege to throw you away on a man like that. I wouldn't have him as my office boy. And the lighting in that picture. Do you remember how I used to bring the lights up every time you stepped on the stage? You became a radiant creature to the audience. People left the theater feeling they'd been through some great spiritual experience. I left the movie house feeling that a magnificent ruby had been set in a platter of lard. You've put yourself back 10 years, but we can mend that. You're going to be greater than ever, Lily Garland.
Now, look here, Oscar. If all this adagio is by any chance preliminary to a contract...
Who said anything about
contract?
Now,
come on,
Oscar,
what are you talking about? You would do anything to get my name on a contract.
The movies must have done this to you. I haven't come in here with any contracts. I'm not Max Jacobs. I came in here with a dream we both had long ago. The thing that was to be the climax of your career. The last golden stare. The courtesan. The great courtesan role.
Oh, so that is the big surprise you have for me.
Yes.
Another part where I am not worthy of the lieutenant's love and I make a great sacrifice.
I wouldn't sneer if I were you.
All right, come on, tell me, what is it this time? Montezuma again? Oh, that big drama about helping Annie the pride of the guest, huh?
No, Lily, it's none of those things. This happens to be about the greatest woman of all time. Just her memory has kept the world weeping through the centuries. The Magdalene. Nomine patri et filio.
The Magdalene. Oh, you mean that play by Sudermann?
Sudermann, that German hack. Listen to me, Lily. I'm going to do the Passion play in New York with Lily Garland as the Magdalene. I've had it up my sleeve for some time, just waiting for the right moment. The wickedest woman of her age. Sensual, heartless, and beautiful. Corrupting everything she touches. Running the gamut from the gutter to glory. Can you see her, Lily? The little wanton. Ending up in tears at the foot of... I'm going to have Judas strangle himself with her hair.
No, no, no. Look here, Oscar. Why not have Judas drink the poison that was intended for me?
Well, Lily, that's an inspiration. Go on while you're in the creative mood.
Well, I'll tell you how I can see the whole thing.
Yes.
I can see the Magdalene as a woman who was an aristocrat at the beginning.
Yes.
And after being heartbroken by some man she loved madly and trusted, she went down, down, down.
Into the depths.
Hating and despising all men. Laughing at them. So cruel, so terrible.
Yes, yes.
Can't you see, Doctor?
Yes, Lily, I'm going to make it my greatest production.
Yes.
Gamble every penny on it. I brought over an entire troupe from Europe. I took them away from Max Reinhardt. It cost me my shirt, but I wanted them.
Oh.
Two of them are genius. Lily, if the play runs for 5 years, I don't want a penny. You can have all the money.
Oh,
I
good.
Only want to stagger New York. A desert scene with 100 camels and real sand brought over from the Holy Land. I'm going to have a Babylonian banquet that you give to your lover in the second act. That's the governor of Judea, Pontius Pilate, with your slaves all around you. You're covered in emeralds in this scene from head to foot. But that's nothing to the finish where you stand in rags. And the Emperor Nero himself offers you half his empire. You reply in a speech that's probably the greatest piece of literature ever written, with the lights pouring down on you, transfigured with love and sacrifice. Nero cringes, and the last we see of you is this pathetic little figure selling olives in the marketplace. It's sublime. Tell me I've reached the artist in you. What is it?
Oscar, you're crazy.
What do you mean?
Good in heaven. Listening to you. Oscar, you're a pure case of living paranoia.
Really?
Oh, no, I'm not angry. You're too funny to make any
Don't be cheap, Lily.
Coming in here with camels and sand from the Holy Land. Like a hoop head. You're a scream. You're going to put on the Passion play.
Yes.
My God, you haven't $100 to your name.
I can raise $1 million, $2 million.
And I know just how you intend to raise it. Get my name on a contract and go out peddling it. Shake down some new angel on the strength of my reputation. No. I'm still being your meal ticket.
You're at liberty to call up any one of my banks
your
in the
banks,
morning.
Your banks? You mean those banks that are taking your theater away from
That's
you?
That's a lie.
Oh,
you've been listening to my enemies.
I've been listening to Mr. Oliver Webb, your so-called business manager, who came in here with some big story about you going to commit suicide unless I took pity on you. For God's sake, go and commit it. It would be a blessing to everybody concerned.
What are you talking about? Mr. Webb is no longer with me. I fired him for stealing.
Shut up. I've had enough of your lies.
I'm offering you a last chance to become immortal.
Thank you, but I prefer to stay mortal with a responsible manager.
Who?
Max Jacobs.
I can't believe
it. Read the papers tomorrow, then.
Max Jacobs?
Yes.
He's got paresis. Mm. I had to fire him to protect the health of my office staff. He's a thief, besides. Illiterate. He can hardly write his own name.
He writes it all right on checks. Great big checks, too.
Oh, it's money you want. That's right. Just another Broadway ham. Yes, that's what you've become. If I was to jingle a miserable 10 or 15,000 at you, your mouth would begin to water. You'd start drooling and squealing, gimme.
That's right. Get out before I have the conductor throw you off the train.
Look out who gets thrown off the train traveling with a gigolo.
Get out, you snake, you swindler.
Stop that, you cheap little shop girl. I'll tell the world who's a fake. You are. I made you. I talk to everything you know. Your voice, your walk, your cheap little talent, the mind. I gave them to you. I gave up everything to breathe them into you. Even your name, Lily Garland. I gave you that. Well, as there's a God in heaven, Mildred Slutka, you go back where you belong, in the burlesque houses.
Get out of here! I want to be alone.
There's a girl in Havana who is quite a sensation, a new revelation. She lives in Havana. Oh, yes. Now there's nobody sweeter. She's the talk of the town there, and everyone down there is dying to meet her. She's a sweet senorita. Oh, yes. Tony's wife. The boys in Havana love Tony's wife. Around the cabana of Tony's wife, they sing in a manner that's rare. Tony's wife. The fellas are fools about Tony's wife. They're fighting their duels about Tony's wife. But Tony's too lazy to care. When she plays on her guitar, how they come from near and far. Oh, my old me. She gives them a shaking up, you should see. The homes that are breaking up, gosh, oh, gee. A man would surrender his life for Tony's wife. Novelty songs and nut songs, without which any entertaining band is sunk. Here's one of the newest, though I have my doubts that it will rival Where Do You Work Her, John? Tony's Wife. Boys in Havana love Tony's wife. Around the cabana of Tony's wife, they sing in a manner that's rare. Tony's wife. The fellas are fools about Tony's wife. They're fighting their duels about Tony's wife. But Tony's too lazy to care. When she plays on her guitar, how they come from near and far. Oh, my old me, she gives them a shaking up, you should see. The homes that are breaking up, gosh, oh, gee. A man would surrender his life for Tony's wife. Writing of the Whisper Waltz, Paul Francis Webster, youthful newcomer to Tin Pan Alley, has teamed up with an old veteran, Joe Burke. Ma,
now we're all alone, my dear. Just for this dance, teach me romance. Tell me what I long to hear. Whisper, sweetheart, whisper, darling. Hear what my lips softly say. Do you miss me? Would you kiss me? Answer me, dear, while we sway. Your eyes with love light are gleaming. Don't wake me up if I'm dreaming. Won't you whisper, sweetheart, you love me? While we dance the whisper waltz.
You are listening to the Fleischman's East Hour under the direction of Rudy Valley, who presents Eugenie Leontovich and Moffat Johnson, Lita Roberti, Ray Bolger, and Barbara Blair, the Fleischman Light Opera Ensemble, and Willie and Eugene Howard.
Tonight's program has turned out to be a reunion of George White's Scandals, class of 1931. Besides the Howard boys and myself, our Scandals alumni include Ray Bolger and Barbara Blair. Ray, as you know, is one of Broadway's finest dancing comedians. His recent major hit in the first Radio City show recalled to me a novel comedy act he did with Miss Blair in The Scandals. And so we introduce Ray Bolger and Barbara Blair.
Rudy, it's certainly swell. It's certainly swell being with you again. We certainly had some fun together, didn't we?
You bet we did. Right, plenty of it,
yeah. Yes, sir. I remember many a time in Detroit.
Hi-oh.
Say, who is this, anyway? What do you want, and how'd you get in, and didn't you see the doorman?
Yes, but he didn't see me.
Who are you looking for?
I was looking for Ray Bolger.
Goodbye, Ray.
Come back here, you coward.
It's you, Ray Bolger.
Say, what is this, an entrance to an alley? Well, what do you want, miss? I'm Ray Bolger, but I'm very busy.
I've been waiting for you for such a long time. Please don't send me away.
But why?
Well, you think maybe I could go on the stage with you in your act?
You want to go on the stage with me?
In your act.
Well, I don't know. What do you do?
Don't I look it?
Yeah. That's too fast for me. What I want to know is, what do you do? What is your specialty?
That's what I came here to find out.
Well, that's fair enough. Do you sing?
No.
Dance?
No.
So far, you're full of talent. You play the violin?
No.
Piano?
No.
Saxophone?
No.
Well, now, let me see. Have you any relatives in Bridgeport?
No.
Well, what makes you think you can ride a bicycle? Oh, no. what I mean is, have you had any experience?
Oh, yes. I was with the circus once.
Mm-hmm. Did you ride a horse?
No.
Oh, it looks like we're going to go through that again. Were you an acrobat?
No.
You weren't a midget?
No.
But you were with the circus?
Yes, I was with them.
Well, then, what did you do?
Nothing. I was just with them.
Oh, dear, dear, dear. That's right. That's right. You did say you were with them.
Yes.
You don't mind if I ask you a personal question, do you?
No, I like that.
Yeah, you would. What is that business you keep doing, that twitching with your mouth?
Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that's what I mean. What is it?
That is nervousness.
That is what?
That is nervousness.
Oh, that is nervousness.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
No?
No, I thought when people had nervousness, they moved their shoulder like this, up and down.
You mean like that?
Yeah, like that.
Yes, I used to do that.
Oh, you used to do that?
But it made me too tired.
Yeah. Oh, dear, dear.
I want to tell you something else, Mr. Bolger.
Yeah?
I can also give imitations.
Imitations?
Yeah, imitations.
Yeah, imitations. All right. Well, what do you give imitations of?
Aminals.
What?
animals, so I can't say animals.
Yes, I noticed that. I certainly noticed that.
But my first imitation will be of my little dog.
Oh, you've got a little dog.
Yeah, and his name is Snunny.
What?
His name is Snunny.
His name is Snunny?
Yeah, you want to know something?
Yeah, I know it already.
What?
His name is Snunny.
Who told you?
Oh, I'm getting scared now.
You know, we used to call him Fido.
You used to call him Fido?
Yes, but we don't call him that anymore.
Why not?
Because his name is Snunny.
Yeah. I thought so. Well, go ahead, give your imitations.
Yes, all right.
All right.
Come.
Is that all there is to it?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know whether to laugh or cry.
And now my next imitation.
Oh, wait a minute. We'll do a trick. I'll hide and you'll do the imitation and I'll guess it.
Yes, all right.
Wait a minute. That was your little dog, wasn't it?
No, that was my sister. She has one too.
No.
And now my next imitation.
Oh, no. No more, please.
What, no more?
No more. You see, it's very nice, but...
you don't like it?
Oh, that's wonderful. I've never seen anything like that in my life before. You don't mind if I ask you a personal question, do you?
No, I like that.
What's your name?
My name is Snunny.
Yeah. Your name is Snunny?
Yes.
And the dog's name is Snunny?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Are you named after the dog?
Yes, but he don't mind it.
He wouldn't. Snunny?
What?
I want to ask you something.
What?
Have you a sweetheart?
Yes, I got a fellow what's stuck on me.
Yeah?
But I like my dog Snoony much better.
Yeah. You would.
And you know, he wants to marry me.
He does?
Yes, you know, I saved up $25.
How much did you save up?
$25.
$25?
Yes, you think he wants to marry me for my money?
Yeah. Well, I don't know, Snoony, but I'd like to ask you a question.
Oh, I'm sorry. I spent the money already.
Oh, yes. No.
Missy Bolger?
Yes, Nunny.
You know, I've been following you around for such a long time. Can't you take me with you? You know, I like you.
You like me?
Could you tell me, what does a girl say to a fellow when she likes him? I mean, a whole lot.
Well, some girls say I'm crazy about you, and some girls say I love you.
Well, I is crazy about you. I love you. Honest, I do.
Well, Snunny, that's very nice. I think you're kind of cute, and I like you.
Well, what is we going to do about it?
Yeah. I'm afraid there isn't anything we can do about it. You see, Snunny, I'm engaged.
Oh, is you?
Yes.
To that girl in your act?
Yes.
Well, I don't blame you for liking her.
Why?
She's pretty.
You're pretty.
Yes, and you is pretty, too.
No. Well, goodbye.
Oh, wait a minute. Is you going to marry her?
Why do you ask?
Well, how can I find out?
Yeah. That's right. That's certainly right. There is something in that. Well, excuse me, Snunny. I've got to go.
Oh, please don't go.
Well, what's the matter, Snunny? Snunny!
Please take me with you.
You're crying.
No.
Oh, Snunny. Oh, you poor child. Come here. I was only fooling, Snunny. I'm not really engaged to that girl.
No?
No.
And you're not going to marry her?
No.
Well, you think maybe then there's going to be a chance there for me?
Come here, Snunny. I want to tell you something.
What?
You'll be my missus. 'Cause I adore you. You'll be my missus. You're mine. The snowball has gained momentum.
started rolling. After tonight, we leave it to so many other delightful hours and orchestras to bring you the strains of I'm Playing with Fire. That everyone has spoken, and from the things I hear, I should be careful, dear. They come and find me, and then remind me of all the hearts you've broken. But I'm in love with you, so what am I to do? With fire, I'm going to get burned. I know it, but what can I do? I know my heart must be content to go where it is sent, although I may repent when I'm through. But what can I do? I'm playing with fire. I'm gonna get burned while merry-go-rounding with you. But I go for my ride with my eyes open wide. I'm playing with fire. I know it, but what can I do?
A few weeks ago, we attempted a medley arrangement of Gilbert and Sullivan music from Pinafore, with solists and a chorus. Partly because the audience response was so favorable, and partly because we enjoy doing it anyway, we offer a similar sequence tonight. This time I have had our arranger, Elliot Jacoby, prepare a Mikado medley. The solists include Lois Bennett, Earl Spicer, and one other. I'd tell you his name, but I've had my grapefruit today, thanks.
Gentlemen of Japan, I'm ready the Lord High Executioner, a personage of noble rank and title, a dignified and potent officer, whose functions are particularly vital. Defer to the Lord High Executioner. Defer to the noble Lord, to the noble Lord, to the Lord High Executioner. River, a little Tom Tit sang willow, tit willow, tit willow. And I said to him, Dickie Bird, why do you sit singing willow, tit willow, tit willow? Is it weakness of intellect, birdie, I cried, or a rather tough worm in your little inside? With a shake of his poor little head, he replied, oh, willow, tit willow, tit willow.
Wandering minstrel, I, a thing of shreds and patches, of ballad songs and snatches, and dreamy lullaby. My catalog is long, through every passion ranging, and to your humors changing, I tune my supple song. I tune my supple song. A wandering minstrel, I, a thing of shreds and patches, of ballad songs and snatches, and dreamy lullaby. And dreamy
obviously an attempt to rival Valencia, though you are the ones to judge best how successful the attempt has been in the creation of this 6/8 time popular song, Bohemia. Thank you.
are tumbling and reeling. Falling star, I know the feeling. Love was near, one fleeting hour. Love was here, then gone. Just like you, I had a high place. Just like you, I fell from my place. And if it's true that lovers can wish on you, bring her back falling star.
For the next 5 minutes or so, ladies and gentlemen, life is just a bowl of Howard Brothers. My greatest friends backstage, Eugene and Willie.
Bring it up.
What?
I was looking for you this afternoon.
Yeah.
Where were you?
I had to go to the hospital to see my uncle.
Why? What's the matter with your uncle?
His wife hit him with an oak leaf.
What? He had to go to the hospital because his wife hit him with an oak leaf.
It was a leaf from the dining room table.
Yeah. Oh. Well. Well, how are you getting along with your wife these days?
Terrible. She leaves me every night to play bridge. I'm a forgotten man.
Oh, you are, eh? Well, why don't you speak to her about it?
I did. She was just like a lamb.
Just like a lamb, eh?
Yeah.
What did she say?
Bah.
What? Well, how is your business getting along?
My business is even.
What do you mean, even?
Even worse than last year.
Well, what seems to be the trouble?
Nothing but bills.
Well, do you pay the bills?
Sure. And I pay them in order of their months.
Yes?
First the January bills and the February bills.
Oh, I see. Well, that's fine.
Yeah.
Very systematic. What month are you up to now?
April 1920.
Well, I guess everybody's in the same boat these days.
Yeah.
But I find living much cheaper.
You don't say.
Oh, yes. Now, for instance, this morning, I went to a restaurant for breakfast. And for 20 cents, I had a whole grapefruit, wheat cake, two lamb chops, toast, and two cups of coffee. Mind you, all for 20 cents.
What? No cereal?
What?
You certainly are a spendthrift, aren't you?
Oh, I don't know. I don't see you throwing any money away.
Is that so? You come around my window sometime with a monkey and a growl and organ, and I'll throw you some pennies.
Oh, is that so?
And by the way, don't forget to wear a derby so I know which one is the monkey.
Yeah. I suppose you think you're very smart.
I should laugh to myself, I am.
Excuse me for interrupting you, boys.
Uh-huh. We're fired.
No. No, nothing like that. The sponsors of this program have asked me to interview you for their publicity department.
An interview?
Yes. Would you mind if I asked a few questions?
Send it out, Mr. Wallington.
Go ahead.
Go right ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, is Howard your right name?
No, that's our Christian name.
Well, what is then your right name?
Well, we'd rather not tell.
Why not?
We don't want to disgrace our family, you know.
How long have you boys been together?
25 years. Through thick and thin.
Yeah, he got thick and I got thin.
Yes, sir.
Tell me, Willie. Have you any children?
Children, yeah. I got three, a boy and a girl.
Wait a minute. Three, a boy and a girl. What's the other one?
Who knows? Only a baby yet.
Where were you born, Gene?
Oh, I was born on the Riviera, near Nice.
And you, Willie?
The Nancy, near my nephew.
All kidding aside, boys. Listen, I want to know something here. This is an interview, you know. Where were you really born? This is for publicity, you know.
Well, make it Russia for publicity.
Make it Ireland for protection.
What?
Have you any brothers?
Yes, we have one brother.
Is he in the theatrical profession?
No, he works in the open spaces.
Oh, he works in the open spaces. What is he, a rancher in the north?
No, a buttonhole maker in the vest.
Now, another question. Tell me, Gene, what is your hobby?
Oh, my hobby is to sit in a swell nightclub surrounded by beautiful girls.
That's a hobby. That's a gigolo.
No.
And Willie, what is your hobby?
Don't be silly. I'm my wife's hobby.
Now, you boys have been working steadily for a long time. Don't you feel tired?
Oh, yes. The doctor told us to go to Baden-Baden for the bath.
Well, are you going?
Listen, we're just a little run down, not dirty.
Well, how do you keep yourselves in condition?
Well, every morning when I get up, I play a round of golf.
And you, Willie?
Every morning I play a round of coffee and the donuts.
How is it, Willie, that Jean is always nicely dressed and you dress so sloppy?
Well, I pay cash for my clothes.
How about that suit you have on?
Yes, sir. It's the latest cut, too.
Oh, yeah? Please. I don't think it's the latest style.
What? Who said latest style? I said latest cut. Cut from $17 down to $10.
Well, I suppose you boys have worked hard to reach the top.
Oh, I should say so. Well, you know, I've had my nose to the grindstone for the last 15 years. You ought to see before he started.
Well, what is the secret of your success in the show business?
Secret? What is it, a secret?
Oh, no. Mr. Wallington wants to know what we owe our success to.
Oh!
What do you mean, oh?
We owe everybody.
Well, how did you boys start in the show business?
Well, when Willie was 12 years old, he was a boy soprano.
Oh, soprano.
What is this? Oh, soprano. At that age, did I know what I was doing?
And what did you do, Gene, when you were a boy?
Listen, Mr. Wallington, Mr. Cantor, I mean, listen. I'll tell you all about Gene. When Gene was a boy, he was a terrible loafer. He used to hang around pool rooms and corners and alleys. When he would come in at night, my father says, Izzy, why don't you... What?
Izzy.
Gene. In those days, it was Izzy.
Yeah, all right.
He says, Izzy, why don't you go to work? So he'd laugh. He'd laugh in my father's face, I guess. Yeah, yeah. My father says, you're a bum, you're a bum. One day he said to Mrs. Get Hot, get hot.
What do you mean, get hot?
Get hot of my house. And he would laugh in my father's face like this. My father says, you're a bum, you're a bum.
Well, it wasn't as bad as all that. I wanted to become an opera singer.
Oh, yes? Yeah. Well, what is your favorite aria?
Oh, the Vesta La Juba from Pagliacci, you know.
Keep it up.
Recitare mentre preso dall'aria non so più quel che dico e quel che faccio.
Faccio.
Eppure dopo sforzati a voi sai che sforza gli uomini.
See, he's still a bum.
What?
Till tomorrow, we still can be lighthearted.